Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, listening to the replacements, Fitty Flounder and Evan Smoke Ludwig here.
See, I like it.
Troppy behind the board, trying to keep us straight, but he's a bit of a wild card himself, so you just never know. Hour one in the books, we move on to hour two. We're going to get back into the Panthers, back into Bryce Young's big day, fantastic day, but guys, like we've seen in a lot of fun, big NFL games this year that have dramatic endings, officiating kind of overshadows what happens on the field. And I think that very much was the case on Sunday afternoon at Bank of America Stadium. Three calls, and including two that led to points for the Packers, really impacted the way the outcome of this game. You had a late hit on YGM in the second quarter, an uncalled hit on ISN when he was hit out of bounds, and of course the Dobbs catch on the final Packer drive, which, as a guy that watched Dez Bryant catch a football and get called not a catch, that definitely wasn't a catch. Smoke, we watch a lot of Panther games together doing pre and post game coverage here at WFNZ. This was not one of them. You were at home. What was the living room like seeing all three calls go against your beloved Panthers?
Well,
with your dad being a owner of the Packers to a certain degree.
Yeah, yes. I forgot about that element.
What was that like?
It was funny because he doesn't really get to watch many games just because usually he's fixated on trying to, you know, win high school football games during football season. But it was interesting. I was more calm just because the team's out, got nothing really, just wanted to watch Bryce Young grow. So I was pretty happy with the performance. But the Romeo Dobbs catch, I was like, really? That's okay. I mean, and you mentioned Dez Bryant. We're probably going to get texts galore saying Cotri caught it, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because the Cotri catch is not a catch, but that's a catch. Like, we have, over the last 10 years, and I don't know if the Dez thing started it or just opened our eyes. I know technically Calvin had the same problem in 2010. But over the last 10 years, I have no idea what a catch is supposed to be.
It makes no sense.
I got nothing. Like, I'm like, that's a catch. That's an incomplete pass. Oh, that's a catch. I'm like, there's no chance in really guessing at this point. It just depends on who it is, and I have no earthly idea what a catch is. I mean, the play out of bounds of Smith-Marset was frustrating, too, because it's clear his day as he was out of bounds. The ref was looking right at him, yet they didn't call anything. And they called penalty on Cade Mays, which it actually played a factor because that put more time off the clock, and that time could have been used down to stretch.
Yep.
But it's like, okay, I get punishing Cade Mays, but he was responding because you guys didn't do your jobs by calling a clear late hit out of bounds.
Also, I mean, come on. Like, there wasn't really a whole lot there. Now, I was in the booth at that time. Like, was there more there to that? Like, did he hit him in the face? I didn't really understand how Cade Mays, out of all of that, was the only guy that got anything. Now, I know Icky had one of the greatest flops I've ever seen in my entire life after he gets shoved. I mean, that big man just tumbled right to the ground. But I thought it was very odd. I thought that was horrible. I thought it should have been on both sides. The worst call was YGM. That was terrible.
What do you expect him to do?
There was no contact. There was no contact to the head. It was shoulder to shoulder. I just, like, to me, how do you watch that play and say, well, that's a hit? What, because Love throws his head back? Like, come on, man. You guys got to be smarter than that as refs. You've seen it way too many times now. You got to know, especially with a play. And look at how that cost them. That led to 3 points. That was a third down. They're off the field. Dobbs, that catch, third down play. Panthers would have been off the field. So, yeah. It's not the reason that the Panthers lost, but it played a pretty big factor.
Well, and honestly, this is kind of weird. It's very rare this happens, but the coin toss also, they got a break there in the coin toss, apparently, according to people, because Sunday Packers cornerback Jair Alexander, Charlotte area native, also made a mistake that would have given the Panthers the ball to begin both the first and third quarter via Rob Demoski of ESPN.com Alexander told referee Alex Kemp after Green Bay won the toss that the Packers, quote-unquote, wanted to be on defense. Kemp, who could have and arguably should have, according to Pro Football Talk, interpreted that to mean the Packers were exercising to the option to kick to start the game.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so he said that they wanted to be on defense and they got the ball.
Yes, but
to start the game.
Apparently,
what in the world is going on?
Apparently, Kemp informed the officials to their plan that they wanted to defer, and so Kemp kind of thought, "Oh, he just messed up his language."
Oh my God!
So technically, in the letter of the law, that could have been. So I mean,
that's interesting.
It even started with the coin toss.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was a rough day in that game, and just another rough day around the NFL. Let's hear from head coach Chris Tabor, who was asked if the questionable calls at the end make this loss a little bit different.
Does it matter the way the game was lost, the questionable catch by Dobbs, and what you saw on that, and then potentially there being a second at the end after that pass?
I think those are going to be great talking points for you. There's going to be a lot of great stories that can be written about that. We ran out of time.
Yeah, he's right. We're talking about it right now. Yeah.
Oh, man. I there's nothing I love more than a great coach speak answer, because that's basically his way of saying, yeah, but I don't want to get my ass fined because I'm an interim head coach and I don't want to pay the fine. Hey, that wasn't the juiciest, though, comment that came out of the loss. Here's Adam Thielen on the Dobbs calls, what happens when you play the Packers.
Yeah, I saw the whole play. I saw a catch. And then ball moving as he's going to the ground, ball moves, controls it again, hits the ground, and then loses it again. So in my opinion, you know, the ball moved twice at two different times, so there really wasn't enough time to control the ball. You know, they say control and then a football move. There was no football move. And then he rolls out of bounds. So you can slow-mo it and say, oh, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Well, it's in slow-mo. And full speed, that's no catch. So kind of what you get when you play the Packers.
Here's the problem.
Yeah,
is you know if Aaron Rodgers was the opposing quarterback, I'm not gonna say it would be defended or defendable, but like it would make sense. That's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. The calls are gonna go, you know, that team's way more often than not. Jordan Love's been a nice quarterback, and maybe he turns out to be the guy for the Packers for the next decade and a half or so. But for them to come into the Panthers' home stadium and get those type of calls on what's been a really bad year has to be frustrating. When this was a franchise that, you know, had its MVP quarterback at one time get told, you're not old enough to get those calls. And then Jordan Love is getting calls when he hasn't done anything really of note in the NFL. And then the Dobbs catch, non-catch, like, at this point, like, what's the point in having officials? What's the point in having replay? What's the point in having the people in New York if you can't get it right? And I think that's got to be frustrating, because if that catch does, you know, isn't a catch smoke, I feel like, and we can't prove it, you probably feel like Carolina emerges victorious from this game.
Oh, I definitely think they do, because it was what, 2-3 minutes left in the game, right before the 2-minute warning.
Yes.
They would have had enough time to easily get down the field, especially with the way they were playing in that fourth quarter. And I think get a game-winning field goal again, because at that point it was, what, 31-30, if I'm not mistaken?
No, 30-30.
30-30,
tie game.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would have easily given you a chance to win the game with Eddie Pinheiro, but then again, I don't know if you would have trusted Eddie P, because that was easily his worst game in Carolina since the Atlanta game last year. So, but still, I mean, could have scored a touchdown, could have changed the complexion of this game. And more so than anything, it would have resulted in Green Bay officially being eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah.
Like, their chances of making the playoffs at this point are still slim, but they still have a shot, and it could help their chances this weekend if they beat the Minnesota Vikings.
And this is where the conspiracy theories come from. It's games like this where you watch it and you're like, this is in a home stadium, and yet every call is going against the Panthers. I mean, dude, I give it to Chris Tabor. Because, yeah, I probably would have just came out and said, yeah, we got screwed. Now, I will say this. The one that he seemed the most angry about was the play at the end of the game where he thought there was still time on the clock. I would assume he'll probably talk about it today when he speaks to the media later this afternoon. He'll probably have a different tone. to me, like, there was no question. They were out of time.
Yeah, that
like,
was more heated a moment.
Yeah, I think that one, like, they made the right decision. I think, to be honest with you, and somebody brought this up, and I want to bring this up here and see what you guys think of this. Somebody brought it up to Willie on the post game, and they were arguing with him on the text line about it. They said that Thielen should have pretended that he was hurt and stayed down on the field. Do you think? Here's the thing with that. I don't think they would have blown the play dead quick enough for you.
No.
Like, to me, that's way too much of a risk. I thought Thielen.
Well, and don't you have to use a timeout to stop the clock anyway?
So there's some sort of rule that, because we thought, Willie thought this, and I agreed with him at first. I thought that if he was down, it would be a 10-second runoff because you didn't have a timeout. Apparently, that is the fifth, like technically what would be your fifth timeout, the technical fourth timeout if there is a guy injured. I think there is a penalty that is associated. I think it's like a 5-yard penalty, but there is no clock runoff. Now, I don't know how that's possible because any penalty that's called while the clock is running, it's supposed to run the time off, but I don't know. So if that's the case, I mean, maybe, but like to me, I thought from watching it, and I don't know if you guys thought the same thing, I thought Thielen took a little too much, just a little too much time to get off the ground. It took him a second to sort of realize, like, oh, crap, we got to get up and go. But the biggest thing, honestly, in that case, and, I mean, I don't really blame Bryce because the play was open. That's one where it's got to go to the sideline. Like, you can't throw something in the middle of the field.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, look at all the negatives that went against Carolina on Sunday. You got yourself down in a two possession hole in the fourth. You weren't getting the calls, and then you know Bryce Young shows up with I mean, his second half was brilliant. He was 16 of 20, basically 200 yards, two touchdowns, and I just don't like if you weren't a Bryce believer going into Sunday's game. I don't see how you come out of that game no longer believing that he's the guy. Because I think he showed when he gets the adequate help, and I think that's one thing we've learned about Bryce, is I think he's going to have to be a quarterback that needs a lot around him, like a Dak Prescott, to get the most out of his talent. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this guy made NFL throws repeatedly on Sunday and made throws that he simply hasn't made all season long. Smoke, as a guy that believed in Bryce going into the game, how much further is that belief after the performance he put together overall, including that second half?
I think it's improved a pretty good deal. It's more so of reassurance because there have been some games like the Saints game a couple of weeks ago. I'd say the Dallas Cowboys game, the Colts game, where it's like, oh, he's starting to regress a little bit. But these last 2 weeks, he's coming on strong. He's starting to look more like the Bryce that we thought he would. And given the certain equipment and players beside him, it's like, okay, yeah, this is the guy that they traded up for. This is the guy. He's coming into form a little bit more. He's getting back into a rhythm. And if he can continue to do stuff like this in the last 2 weeks, especially against a team like the Jaguars, who's still fighting for the playoffs lives and trying to avoid a collapse, and the Bucs, who are probably going to make the playoffs at this point, considering how bad the NFC South is, and they've actually been playing pretty damn good the last couple of weeks, I think this is a strong sign if he can continue to play like this the last 2 weeks.
Well, I didn't mean to cut you off. I think the other element here is, does this progression, does this growth happen with Frank Reich? And I think that answer is no.
No.
Like, and look, we know Thomas Brown, 99.999999% chance he's not going to be back with this organization next year.
Ooh.
But he has coached his tail off the last couple of weeks and has put this young quarterback in a position to be successful more than Frank Reich ever did. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that labor really come to fruition on the field, because he hasn't looked great. Like, I'm still not saying he's doing what CJ Stroud has done before he got concussed, but you're seeing the pieces, you're seeing the elements of a guy that had, you know, Dave Tepper crashing a press conference saying, guys, we found the dude. He's a point guard. He's going to spread the ball around. And that's what you're looking for at 2-13. Is something to be excited about going into next year. And if you're not excited about your quarterback, then maybe you're just a miserable person. So with that, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Florida State had a board meeting on Friday afternoon before Christmas.
That puts the
future of the ACC once again in peril. We'll talk about that bowl season and a whole lot more You're listening to the Replacements, Fitty, Flounder, and Smoke on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I thought Mac and Ben were about to start talking, but they
are
not here. Mac's in Pennsylvania drinking Henny with his mom. Bones at home with Mabel.
He's sick, by the way.
With the flu. He has put together a Jordan-like performance through the Christmas holiday.
He was the first. So we have a group on the side. It's me, Fitty, Willie, Mac, and Bone. Bone, this morning, 7 a.m., shooting in a text. How about that? Clutch performance. The man, by the way, he said this before on air. This dude says that he wakes up 3:45 every day, no matter what.
I don't get how he does
Can't
that.
Can't sleep in. I look, man, and you would know this too, because you used to work early mornings in construction. Like on weekends, or if you had off days, like, did you still wake up at that? I sleep later. There's no way I could... That my body just would tell me, okay, you got to wake up that time every single day.
Yeah, I mean, like, when my wake-up time used to be 5, 5.30, 4.45, whatever, like, I'd get to 7. But, like, by 7, you're up, and then you start doing stuff. It's different, like, now radio, like, I slept yesterday till 10:30 after going to bed at, like, 11:15-ish Christmas night, and then got home and took a big old cat nap, so... But radio's exhausting.
A tiger nap? No.
I'm not going to acknowledge that. You know what else is exhausting?
Okay.
Is conference realignment and these schools.
Here he goes.
That have this ideology that they're better and they're bigger than the conference. And everybody and their mother wants them to leave the ACC and join the SEC or the Big Ten. And on Friday, you know, while people are traveling for the holidays and getting ready, you know, getting ready to celebrate Christmas with their families, Florida State and their board of egos called a meeting to discuss their future.
I like that.
In the ACC. And I think what came out of it is that they plan to sue the ACC for $572 million. And somehow along the way, they found that that ESPN will quit paying them after 2027. Funny how no one else has found out that information, as they're trying to find some sort of way to leave the ACC and get out of the grant of rights that has everybody kind of strangleholded until 2036. But, you know, Smoke, the funny thing is we're not hearing anything from the two players that they want Florida State. We haven't heard anything from the SEC, and we haven't heard anything from the Big Ten saying they want the Noles. They want that brand in their conference. It makes a lot of sense for the SEC because they got Florida. They've already got a school in that market with a great football following. The Big Ten doesn't, but the Big Ten also has the four premier brands in the West Coast that could probably make up for not having a brand in Florida. And I think what's going to be what Florida State's going to find out when this is all said and done, they're going to be like us at a dance, no one to dance with, and they're going to have to settle for the Big 12. And you know what's really, really funny about all of this is if you go back to 2011 when realignment kicked up again, A&M Missouri to the SEC, Rutgers Maryland to the Big Ten, everybody thought then the ACC was going to die and it was going to fall apart. And guess where they had Clemson and Florida State ending up? In the Big 12. And it looks like that very well may could happen because they're not the most two premier brands that these conferences want. You know, depending on which conference, Carolina is obviously the premier brand, and then Virginia is the secondary brand. And, you know, at some point, this has to end. And, look, a lot of this is weak leadership on Jim Phillips' part, who's arguably the worst commissioner in the history of athletics. But I think Florida State's going to learn a harsh reality smoke. If they do, in fact, leave the ACC, they're not as desired as they think they are.
Yeah, as of right now. Look, I think we all know, being here right now in 2023, almost 2024, we know.
The year of our Lord, that is.
Thank you very much, Willie P., who's probably on a plane right now as we speak.
No, he leaves later tonight. He's listening in.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Willie?
We should call him.
What is up, dogs? sorry. We all know that they're not going to get away with this right now. Like, at the earliest I think it could happen is when the option could potentially get picked up in 2027. Like, no one is going to pay give them all this money as they're losing $572 million for the exit fee and how many years are left on the deal. So, essentially for me, this is all hot dog and a grandstanding right now. They're trying to take advantage of it due to what happened to them earlier in the month, which they should have a right to be frustrated as they are for not making the college football playoff. But I just, look, we all know it's going to end like this, but let's just wait 5 years, okay? We know by the end of this decade, you guys are probably going to leave. And maybe by then, the conference will probably, and I would think so, both conferences specifically, the Big Ten and the SEC will say, hey, now we can do it. But as of right now, the SEC and the Big Ten don't want to do it. And plus, ESPN and Fox doesn't want to do it because guess what? They just signed those TV deals that are just now going into effect starting next year.
Great point. I think the thing that you have to wonder, and it's very interesting that you brought up the point, Fitty, that we have not heard any of those conferences linked to Florida State. Normally when this happens, remember when just the last round, remember when Oregon and Washington were being rumored? We heard that for how many months that the Big Ten was going after them? We have not heard anybody say, yeah, we're pursuing Florida State. And part of the reason why, how many more schools are you going to add and divide up the revenue? At some point, these schools are going to be like, is this really worth it? Because the pot is getting divided so much that you're not going to probably be in the same range as, say, the ACC, but you're still, it's not going to be that big of a sum to where you'll say, okay, that's really worth it. And the other thing is, at some point, and I mean, for Florida State, I mean, I guess they feel like, especially in football, that they can compete in the SEC and the Big Ten. That might be wrong. I would think, especially in the ACC, like, here's the thing. You stay in the ACC right now, you're probably going to make the college football playoff. You and Clemson will probably make it just about every year. Because you'll just switch on and off. There might be another team that jumps up in there. I mean, NC State, the way they've hit the transfer portal, it's possible. Miami, the way they've recruited in the past. I'm not even going to bring up Carolina.
I wouldn't even bring up Miami.
I mean, look, the way that they recruit, I mean, one day, maybe. But I don't know. But that's the thing. Why would you want to leave that and go to the SEC, per se, where, are you sure every single year there's a path to 9 wins for you to even get you in the conversation? Like, I got to be honest. Where do they stack up in the hierarchy of the SEC? Are they ahead of Georgia? Are they ahead of Alabama?
No, not those.
Where are they? They're in the range of probably like Tennessee, right? Somewhere in that range?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a situation where, and look, we all know even when the playoff expands next year, and it's time for the playoff to expand, it's going to be the Big Ten and the SEC Invitational with, you know, a couple of automatic qualifiers that are going to it. But to still get in, like, you're going to have to be, you know, at worst 9-3. And in the SEC, you got to go through Bama, Georgia. I think LSU's in that category. Texas coming off a playoff appearance. I think Oklahoma's trending towards being back to being the OU program that we've known them to
That's
be.
That's a good point. Yeah,
Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan. I think Oregon and Washington, one of them will be a feature in the playoff every year moving forward. You got Penn State. So, you know, and like, I get it because everyone knew when we got the field on Sunday, on Selection Sunday that an undefeated SEC Big Ten team, even with a third-string quarterback, would not have been left out of the playoff.
Yes.
Like, and we all know that. We all agree on that. But the committee made the right decision because their job is to put the four best teams. And Florida State, as currently constructed in that moment, was not one of the four best teams. But that doesn't mean that you get your panties in a wad and you throw a temper tantrum and you want to leave to go play second fiddle again. And like, look, if Florida State had been playing this level for a decade and got screwed time and time again, I'd hear your argument. You lost to an FCS school 2 years ago. Like, and look, you're a great program and our conference needs you. And college football is better when Florida State's in the role that they've been in this year. But it's not like they've just been routinely getting left out of the dance because Clemson for a decade has been the best power. And so I think that's why you've seen Clemson kind of quiet down, because I think they realize, look, are we getting the money that the SEC and the Big Ten schools are getting? No. But can we still achieve what we want to achieve here, which is build a national title contender and be a playoff program year in, year out? Yes. And if you do that with the new TV money coming in, you're going to make up that money in the long run if you win two or three playoff games. And so, like, as a guy that loves this conference, it's heartbreaking to see an outsider come into the conference and now they want to leave because they feel like they're getting wrongfully done, when in reality, you hurt our conference's reputation because we sold our souls to make football money just to bring you here in the first place.
Well, and here's another thing, too. Like, a lot of this is their own doing as well with the way they've handled their money. They've fallen behind on money in recent years, which was a big factor in why.
You're firing coaches left and right, it's going
to
happen.
Well, that and just the previous decade prior to that, like, their money was tight. They were spending more money in basketball than football at one point. And you know, it kind of worked in some ways because Leonard Hamilton has built a respectable program for the most part at Florida State. But ever since the COVID year, they've kind of fallen off. So, and I think that's played a part of fact. That's why Jimbo left. That's why Jimbo left, partially, because the money was not there.
Not right.
He clearly got the money from Texas A&M.
That worked out great.
That worked out great for him, not Texas A&M. But
yes.
I mean, that's another problem. Like, Florida State was, you know, doing themselves in as well with the way that they were not using their money in the right way. They're putting money in other sports compared to football, when football's always been their bread and butter. And all the previous 6 years, essentially ever since the 2016 year where we thought, oh, DeAndre Francois could be something, up until late 2022, it was, what the heck is going on at Florida State?
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, one of the other things that's real interesting, you brought up, you know, how long it could possibly take them. Like, people need to realize that this lawsuit is not going to be a short one. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
So if you think this team is gone by the end of next year, like, it ain't happening. I hate to break it to you. And I think that's where Florida State is at, and they feel like that. The thing that would be hilarious is if they go through all of this and then they start realizing with the new playoff, hey, we're making the playoff field every year. We keep winning the ACC. One of the other things that didn't get brought up, by the way, expanded playoff field, only conference champs can get byes. So, well, although they may have to revise that, I guess. But still, you would imagine that they'll still keep in if you are one of the three conference champs, you get a bye. You don't think Florida State would like a bye where they don't have to play in the first round? Like, to me, there are so many more benefits. And it's why I've seen it from Florida State fans, which I don't get, but I guess I get it a little bit more. Haven't really seen it from Clemson fans, but I've seen a lot of Tar Heel fans. I've seen a lot of Virginia fans that say, get us out of this conference, get us into a new conference. Why the hell would you want to leave this conference? Seriously.
Clown show.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, especially Carolina and Virginia in football. You really think you're going to these other conferences to even remotely compete? You'll be lucky if you win four games.
Well, I think it's solely because of money.
Yeah. But here's the thing. How much money are you honestly making? If you make this move now, you're going to be losing money for 10, 11 years. Like, it's going to take you a while to make up that type of money. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it. I think it's, to be honest with you, with Florida State, it's annoying. Like, guys, you got left out of the playoff field. I think it was for good reason, but I get the arguments that some have that they should have been in the field. At the same time, guess what? You want a solution to this moving forward. You got one. It literally starts next year. Next year, you don't have to worry about this. If you're faced with the same situation, you're in.
Yep.
So I just, like, why are we going this extra step? That doesn't make any sense.
You know, growing up, whenever we'd get to bowl season, you'd put a lot of stock in conference versus conference matchups. How important is it for the ACC to show well this bowl season? Like, you know, do you think it changes the reputation because they had a winning record against the SEC in the regular season, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
You know, like if Carolina beats West Virginia, if Clemson wins their bowl game, like, you know, Duke beat, you know, Troy.
Huge win.
You know, doesn't really count.
A big win.
But like, boys. You know, as ACC guys, are you putting a lot of stock in what they do? Or no, because you just realize, like, it's not gonna calm the conference realignment storms. Like, these schools are still gonna want to get out of here.
No, because we saw it happen. We tried to fall into this trap in 2016 when the ACC completely blitzed the SEC in the bowl season.
Yeah,
and they also won the national title with Clemson beating Alabama. And I remember all the talk, the hubbub from people at ACC media days. It's like, oh, the ACC is now the best conference in football. That went quiet very quickly, very, yeah. very quickly. And plus now, like, so many people, you know, don't put as much stock in a bowl season as we used to. I mean, for crying out loud, the joke in the SEC is the SEC has never lost a bowl game because they'll just say, oh, it's bowl season. Everyone hit the transfer portal anyway. So, unfortunately, that's what it's going to be like. For that to change, it's going to take multiple national championships and possibly by multiple schools because, it, you know, when Clemson was winning national titles, it's like, well, it's just Clemson and everybody else. They got the cupcake schedule. And in some ways they were right, but in some ways it was also because the divisions were around and the Coastal was so bad compared to the Atlantic. Now at least you have it a little bit more beefed up since the Atlantic and Coastal are no more. And if you were to have multiple teams enter the playoff and you have champions, you know, almost each every year, I think that could change. But it's going to take a lot of work for that to change, and I just don't think there's enough time for that to happen.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I could see Florida State and Clemson, if they stay in the conference, I could see both of them making the field a couple of times. I think especially the way, like take next year, for example, Florida State wins the ACC, but let's say Clemson opens the season and beats Georgia and has the one loss to Florida State. You don't think that team, like, well, I mean, I guess you'd have to factor in the ACC championship.
I'm essentially giving it a 5-year window.
Like, I don't know, man. I feel like Big Cat Dan said it best. The money isn't great, but the path to get to where you ultimately want to go is better. And from what Florida State has told us, with the backlash that they've given to being left out of college football playoff, that's what matters, right? It's not the money. You're worried about making the playoff, correct? Or are you lying? Which is probably true. Not shocking. But yeah, I mean, to me, it makes no sense. And Complainer-in-Chief, brother, you really think even Carolina, a couple of years in the SEC, they can compete? Come on, bro. What is compete? Make a bowl game?
Probably.
Jesus.
Probably. Yeah.
Stop it.
From a board of egos to a board up with an ego, it's time for Shropping It Like It's Hot.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Mm.
All right.
What a transition.
So, guys, you know, I have to sneak in a little hockey update here.
Ooh, how about it?
You know, I had to do it. So this one's actually about the All-Star weekend coming up
in January.
So there will be 44 All-Stars. But for the skills competition, they will find 12 guys, 8 will be selected by the Players Association, and 4 will be selected by the fans. And they have completely revamped the actual skills competition. So there will be a draft, but the way that it's going to work is that basically there's going to be 6 events, and each of the 12 will compete in 4 of the 6. So there's going to be fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one-timers, and passing challenge and accuracy shooting.
So you got to get complete players is basically what
it is.
Yes. Okay.
So it'll be a point-based system. So first place is 5 points, and it goes down. So the top 8 will advance to the 7th event, which is the shootout. And the shootout is cool because there's 8 goalies for the 8 players. And if you were last in those, like, say you were the last guy to get in to the next round, you get to go first, and you get to pick the goalie that you want to go against.
Okay, so I volunteer Antti Raanta as one of the goaltenders.
Oh, jeez.
That would go very well.
Yeah.
For some of the guys there. That's interesting. It's a little different than in years past, where you have to be more strategic about the guys that are in those events. Now, Schrapp, how many guys do you honestly think the Hurricanes get in? They have been... There have been a lot of all-stars in recent years. Do you think there's a lot of guys going this year or not much?
I would say we have one. I would say
one solid one. Stanley Cup preseason favorites?
They're damn right it is.
Well, man, they just must not have skated hard enough in the first half of the year.
Oh, my God.
Got to get a better, you know, routine down. Is this going to be judged the way that ice skating is judged in the Winter Olympics?
You shut your mouth. But also...
That's a yes, by the way.
But also the winner of the competition... in the end, walks away with $1 million to their name.
Okay, well, that's some incentive. Yeah, man. That's a little bit of incentive right there.
I don't know if you had that kind of money.
Not bad.
All right, well, there was a rather pointless update from our man.
Whoa, oh, my God. What a cheeks hole.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll deliver our closing arguments from the first and hopefully not last edition of the replay of the replacements. Right here on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back to Fitty, Flowin', Smoke, and Schrapp on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Oh, it's Uniform Nate. Love you, Nate. Thanks for listening, brother.
Although, like, Flowin' Flound is not a bad, like, secondary name to go with.
That could be taken many different ways. So, yeah, sure.
You know, we'll that. And then Schrapp is just...
Schrapp.
I don't know why I
so
find...
So degrading. I feel like that's just, like, an intentional, like... That just sounds... You're Schrappy.
Maybe I deserve it after giving the long-winded hockey update.
We did get a text from Randy from Orlando saying you were losing the audience there. So also, good radio lesson from you.
Go to Disney, Randy.
He also spelled losing wrong, so I'm not taking it too seriously.
He's from Orlando, so you know, don't hold that against him. Spelling isn't their forte down there.
What's with Orlando? Okay.
Smoke, have you ever wished that you had a secondary nickname or like, you know, a Smoke just like if we were to give you something else, like would you even have a suggestion?
Big Pimpin.
Well, I was called as a kid Big E, so
Big E, dude. I like Big E.
Oh, like Big E?
No, Big E, what up?
Big E.
So whenever you start coming in, you know, to do the clubhouse, if I just give you a Big E,
I don't mind it.
It's not the
There was one. I still call it that. I mean,
it's still the clubhouse. Yeah. I mean, it might be the Kyle Bailey show. It's still the clubhouse. Okay. Oh, we might have to work that in because, like, you know, Flound's got very different variations to his name.
Floundino,
Floundeezy, Floundog.
Flounderooski.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, you got Fitmeister, Fit Dog.
Yeah, it's a classic.
You know,
Fit Hole. Now,
Fit Hole would be very appropriate for me on Sunday.
I think that's perfect. I actually like that one right there. Okay.
All right. So we're all sports nerds here.
Yeah.
Right. Smoke. I imagine you grew up back when ESPN actually had a pulse and it mattered. You used to watch sports reporters on Sunday morning.
From time to time. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that would usually be around the time we were at church, though, so probably not.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I mean, at least you were in church then. Can't say the same for you now. But,
oh, my God.
Whoa.
Whoa!
I'm still a man of faith as there's a drive deep into left center field.
So I figured it'd be a fun way to end the show with us doing what they used to do, their closing arguments, their final words. Smoke, we'll let you go first, and I think you said yours is Hornets-related?
Oh!
Not Hornets-related, but the previous name-related, because, see, last night, the Detroit Pistons made history as they lost their 27th straight game. That is the most losses consecutively within a single season in NBA history.
Mm.
And so now, you know, one more loss for them to tie the all-time record of 28, which was set by the tanking Philadelphia 76ers about 8 or 9 years ago. So I kind of got to thinking, how bad does it have to get for the Detroit Pistons to top the 2011-2012 Charlotte Bobcats in terms of winning percentage? Because, of course, the 2011-12 season was a lockout shortened year, so they didn't play all 82 games. The Bobcats finished 7-59. Well, that team had a 10.606 winning percentage. For the Pistons to top the Bobcats, they would have to finish the season 8-74.
Well, they're only on pace for 6 wins, so.
Well, yeah, I it's very hard for them to top that. Like, I don't know if they're going to be that bad. I think they can get to 10 wins. But then again, they have to win a game first to break this current losing streak. So to put in perspective, that all they need to do is win 7 more games, ironic enough, and they would top the 11-12 Bobcats.
Do you think it's going to happen, though? Because, gosh knows, this team...
There's still a long ways to go in the NBA season for that to happen.
You know, and look, not many teams, you could say, have officially quit on December 27th. Detroit's officially quit, so...
I would say no, because I believe at some point, and I know you love this guy, and I don't think this should be that much of a reflection on him, I would think they'd probably let Monty Williams go. You'd probably have an interim coach, and maybe there's some sort of boost where they win. I don't know.
They need to clear out
3-5 the front office. Or something.
The ineptitude in that front office needs to go. Plus, there's so much. The front office structure kind of reminds me of some of the early Bobcats years, too, because there's so many. There's nepotism hires. Now, there's differences, nepotism in FOF or FOM, friend of Mike, but they're the same result. They're bad. So, front office has to go before Monty, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
And also, like, you know, as a guy that grew up loving the mid-2000s Pistons teams, they were my first ever NBA team that I clung to. I kind of enjoy seeing this level of ineptitude, because you moved out of a basketball cathedral, which was the Palace of Auburn Hills, to move to a brand new arena named after a bottom-tier fast food pizza company. This is what you get when you play in Little Caesars Arena or whatever the hell that arena is called.
I'm sure that's behind the lack of success.
Flound, okay. Closing argument from you?
Well, I think you're gonna go Panthers. So I'll go Tar Heels for today's game. I mean, you said earlier that there should be no hope. Don't watch the game if you're a Tar Heel fan.
That's not what I said.
I would say tune in. Yeah. I would say tune in, and I think I think there is a chance that Carolina could win the game just based on what we've seen this bowl season. I mean, there were games, especially early in bowl season, teams that, I mean, I forget. I think it was Ohio without their top 3 quarterbacks, rolled a guy out there, found a way to win that game. What was leading that game by a pretty significant margin at one time, too. I mentioned Duke over Troy. I think it's possible. I think that today... You'll see Carolina bring a little bit of emotion to this game, because it's going to be guys that are going to get their first chances. You wonder if there's certain guys that are veterans that are kind of looking around and realizing, hey, we got to start doing something here, or else Mac, the rest of this staff, they might not be here much longer. I think you'll see an inspired performance from Carolina. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I do think that it is certainly possible that Carolina could pull out the victory, because we have seen some crazy stuff here in bowl season.
All right, my closing argument is going to be Panther-related, and it's that anything is possible. If a guy like Complainer-in-Chief can quit being a doubter and rookie quarterback Bryce Young.
What a moment.
Right, like KG said, if they won the finals in 2008, anything is possible.
Okay,
guys,
I'm gonna need the. Yeah, okay, what was that?
My voice cracked.
That was wow.
Time did that happen at? Let me see.
It was 11:53.
Okay,
but Flounder probably talked over because that's what he does best and ruined the drop. But you know, for a guy that has endured a lot as a rookie, and you know, had a fired head coach and an offensive coordinator whose wife was tweeting about them being fired as soon as the season came to an end, this guy's endured a lot. Been sacked the second most of any quarterback in the NFL, and all he does is get back up and make play after play after play. And if Sunday wasn't it, I think he proved, if you're already on the fence by Sunday, he proved to you he's going to be a guy worth cheering for. You got your franchise quarterback, and hopefully the next decade plus is going to be a lot of fun watching Bryce Young sling the ball around at Bank of America Stadium. All right. And well, with that, that's going to wrap up the first, maybe the last, hopefully not the last edition of The Replacements, featuring Fitty, Flo and Flounder.
There it is.
Big E.
He's in.
And yep. Shrop. We'll hopefully be back with you tomorrow from 10 to 12. Check us out again this afternoon, 3 to 6, Flounder and myself down live at the Doghouse, getting you ready for the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Keep it right here on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.